Okay, we're going to make an attempt at coherence. When Balak sends his message to Bilam that he wants to get rid of the Jews, so he says as follows, right at the beginning.
I said God gave him the blessing, he should not do this. He should bless the Jewish people.
Right, well that wasn't Balak's plan though. Balak says as follows, Hine am yotzo mimitzrayim, this nation just left Egypt, Hine kisa es ein haaretz, and he has covered the eye of the earth. That's the literal translation. Let's see how they translate it here. Covered the surface of the earth. So the commentaries say as follows. What's he trying to tell them? So the Mefarshim explain that he's trying to give a rationale for why Bilam should curse these people. So he says that here's the logic. You find oftentimes somebody who wants to adapt to a given culture. So they're coming from a bad place. Let's say somebody is coming out of prison. And they want to, you know, get into a better place with better people. So they immediately, they come to shul. And within 48 hours, they're shuckling away and they're acting very religious and they're doing all kinds of religious things. What are they trying to do? They're trying to convince people of their righteousness. So Bilam, Balak says to Bilam, Hine am yotzo mimitzrayim. Thank you very much. This nation just left Egypt. They were there for 200 something years. They were in one of the most immoral, decadent places in the world. And now they're acting like they're super from. Vine kisas ena aretz, they are attempting to snow the world. They're covering the eye of the world, meaning they're trying to let everybody think like they're this major righteous, holier-than-thou force in the world. Let's expose them for what they really are. So that's Balak's angle to try to get Bilam to curse them is to convince Bilam that they are really an immoral people, like the place they came from. Fast forward to the first attempt to curse Klal Yisrael. So the first attempt, they go and they build the altars and they do this whole. He doesn't come into this picture today. He's not. We're not going there today. You switched?
No?
Okay, good. It's better that way.
Sorry.
I thought you switched them. Look what he says. This is the message here. Is extremely, extremely powerful. Vayisa Mishalai Vayayimar. I have to use the art scroll because I have no idea what these words mean. And he turned to me. Okay, here we go. Vayayimar. Min Aram Yancheni Balak Melech Moav. From Aram, Balak, the king of Moav, led me. Meharere Kedem. From the mountains of the east. Right, that's where he brought him from. L'cha Arel Yankiv, U'l'cha Zayam Yisrael, come curse Yaakov for me, come bring anger upon Klal Yisrael. Ma'ekav L'kabikel, what's the point of cursing if Hashem isn't going to curse? Ma'ezim L'zam Hashem, what's the point of getting angry if Hashem doesn't get angry? Kimirayish Tzurim Arenu, listen carefully. From its origins, I see it rock. Like umigvoyis ashirenu, and from the hills do I see it. Behold, it's a nation that will dwell in solitude, it will be not reckoned among the nations. Who has counted the dust of Yankiv? Or numbered a quarter of Klal Yisrael. Now, Rashi quotes a Medrash. The Medrash is far more explicit. Rashi quotes a Medrash. I can't have any more sugar. It's better this way. Thank you. Rashi says, who are the Rosh Tzurim? Who are the mountains and the hills that Bilam is referring to? The mountains are the Avais, the patriarchs. The Gevoyos, the hills, are the Imahos. So Bilam is calling upon the merits of the Avos and the Imahos. What's he saying? Now we know that everything Bilam said, he tried cursing them, but Hashem transferred them and turned them into bracha. So what was he trying to say? We have a very colored past as a people. We have some ancestors who are not the most noble characters in the world history. For instance, Avraham Avinu's father was a guy by the name of Terach. Terach belonged to the other party. He was an idol worshiper, was a murderer, was not a good guy. Rachel and Leah's family, Lavan, not the most noble character. Rivka's family, Besuel and company, we don't come. David HaMelech, we know that that family had also some strange yichas. Bilam wanted to conjure up the yichas going back to the pre-Avram and pre-Yaakov legacy. What he missed was, he didn't learn some of the commentaries. If you miss the Mefarshim, then you end up goofing up a lot. So Bilam was not conversant with the Mefarshim. Chazal tell us, why were the Imahos Akaris? Why were our matriarchs barren? For this very reason. The Rishnah says, Ish imay aviv tiroi migdoshay tiro ani Hashem. Person should fear father and mother. I am Hashem. Says the Rishnah that Shloisha shutvim ba'adam, that we all have three partners. Father, mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rishnah said, my portion, Ani Hashem, you guys don't have to worry about that. That's all right. What you guys need to worry about is what you got from your father and your mother. He says, Ish imay v'aviv tiro. What you need to fear is your father and mother portion. Ani Hashem, my portion is all right. That I took care of already. One third of the picture I took care of. The other two thirds are something you need to worry about. So he says, when do you say that there's a legacy that comes from ancestry? That's if you follow the natural order. But if the Imahos couldn't have children, and the children were born miraculously, there's no legacy. Then it doesn't continue. There's no continuation from the corrupt ancestry. So therefore, Bilam's attempt at drawing that attention is not relevant, because the yichus starts with Avram. The yichus starts with Rachel and Leah. It doesn't go back to their parents. Having said that, we understand why the Chazal tell us that Mireish Tzurim, that refers to the Avos. Umigvois Asherenu, that refers to the Imois. It's the patriarchs and the matriarchs whose merit we're calling upon. What he thought was going to be a prosecution turns out to be, in essence, a merit for us, because we call upon their Zchusim. Now, What happens here is Balak is trying to say these people can't be for real because they just spent hundreds of years in corrupt Egypt, and they were totally immersed in an immoral, decadent, corrupt society. They had to have absorbed their corrupt society, and as a result, all of this frum stuff that they're putting on is all a show. And you know, it's the Rambam had this thing with the cat, where they told them, you know, people are trainable, and just like animals are trainable, and they had this cat acting as a waiter, and the Rambam said, I'll challenge you, and the Rambam released a mouse, and the waiter very quickly became ice waiter. Shaila is, what happens, what is the real Jew? Where is the real Jew? There's a piece from Rav Dessler where he says, we have a concept that we're constantly calling upon Zechus Avos, the merit of our forefathers. And even on Rosh Hashanah, a day of Mishpat, on a day of judgment, we call upon that. How is that fair? Where is the justice in the merit of the Avos? So Rav Dessler says that there was a court case. There were two young men, both of them, who went and committed a robbery. The judge, who's an internationally renowned, fair judge, sends one of them back to prison for 10 years, and the other one he commands that he's got to go back to school and go home. And so there's an outcry, identical crime. Why are you sending one back home and the other one to prison? So Rav Dessler says that the judge said, call in the parents. The one who he sent back to prison comes from a long yichus of the mob. His father was a thief, his grandfather was a thief, his Elta Zayda was a thief. So the only way to keep this guy out of trouble is to keep him in prison. He has no chance. He said, this other one comes from an upstanding righteous family. He got in with some bad friends. If you put him back in his proper place, he'll come back l'tayf. He says, and that's justice. So the question comes down to, what is a Jew? The Rav Shitzurov in Zera Kodesh, in two different places, says just an incredible, incredible lesson. He says that in davening we say, at the end of davening, V'nafshi ka'ofar l'koil tia. Right by the kind of tzor, all the way at the end of Shemona Esrei. We say, and my nefesh should be to everyone like ofar, like earth. And for anybody who doubts whether our prayers are heard, this is a prayer that is answered often, right? People treat us like dirt. He says, which person wants to be treated like dirt? What's pshat in the tefillah? Why would we utter a prayer that nafshi ka'ofar l'koil tia? So he says as follows. He says, behold, we see that earth, eretz, and ofar, that it's able to sprout and give forth all kinds of life in the world. He says, what's more, he says, v'oid hafla v'fela metzinu ba'aretz. We find a wondrous thing about dirt. The more zevel, the more fertilizer, or to use the crude term, the more manure you dump on it, the better it grows. Even though the manure is a disgusting thing, and the apple tree that grows out of it is magnificent, the more manure, the better the apples. Says the Rav Shitzurov that earth has the capacity, you put a seed in it, I don't know what the numbers are, but 99% of the seed disintegrates in the earth. There's nothing left of it. But there's a tiny, tiny, tiny spark of life that's in that seed. And the earth has the quality, the minerals, the content of the earth is, that it's able to break down the seed, and it's able to give forth the nutrients to allow that little tiny portion of life to sprout and recreate incredible vegetation and life-giving plants, trees, flowers. To the degree where not only does the earth give it, but the more zevel, the more manure that's on it, the more energy that the earth has to be able to do what it does better. Says the Rav Shitzirov that that's what we're asking. V'nafshi ka'ofar l'koil tia. That no matter what the Almighty sends our way. L'koil doesn't mean to everyone. L'koil means to everything. My neshama should be lakoil, should be to all situations, to all circumstances, to all of life's wonderful gifts. It should be ka'ofar. Vanafshi, my life should be ka'ofar lakoilti. It should be, for all things, it should be like earth. And I should be able to somehow sift through and be able to take whatever it is that's being dumped in my earth, somehow figure out how to get 99% of the refuse out of the way, focus in on what the spark is, because we know the Pasuk says, "Mi'itay le'seitze haroyis v'atoyim," nothing evil comes from Hashem. Everything has to have a spark of goodness. So our job is to be earth to life situations, to be able to get rid of the 99% of what seems to be coincidental, what seems to be useless, focus on the spark that's in there and take it and turn it into a life-giving opportunity. It's an incredible shot in that prayer. V'nafshi ka'ofa l'koil tia. My life should be like offer, and a sign to know when are we really facing an opportunity that's awesome. If it comes with a lot of manure, then you know that it's really something. Then you know that there's a real incredible opportunity here. I believe that based on this teaching by the Rav Shitzirov, we have an insight into Hashem's bracha to Avram Avinu. B'hoya zaracha ke'afar ha'aretz. Hashem says to Avram Avinu, your descendants will be like the dirt of the earth. This is the bracha. The bracha that he gives Avram Avinu is, while the rest of the world will curse the darkness, your descendants are going to have the opportunity to understand that there is no such thing as coincidence. We're not just somehow placed here to be dumped upon, but that concealed in those opportunities is the command, the responsibility to be borer, to select the light from the darkness. It's interesting that when the Gemara talks about Nochem Ish Gamzu, remember the famous story where the community sends Nochem Ish Gamzu to the Caesar to annul some kind of decree, and he takes a chest full of jewels and gold, and while he's staying at this inn, they steal it all. And what does he replace it with? He replaces it with offer. And Nochem Ish Gamzu continues on with the chest of earth, brings it to the Caesar, and they want to kill him. And he says, no, the Eliyahu HaNavi appears, and says to the Caesar, this isn't regular earth. This is atomic earth, nuclear earth. You take it, you throw it at your enemies, and it turns into spears and swords and all kinds of things. So he sends it, tests it out, and lo and behold, it indeed wipes out the enemy. So this other fellow, the innkeeper, hears what his earth is able to do, so he takes some earth and goes. And his earth ends up being earth, right? So they execute him. And I believe that what's hidden beneath the surface of this story is when Nochem Ish Gamzu's attitude, when he sees earth, he sees the bracha of Avraham Avinu. In fact, when the Eliyahu Navi speaks to the Caesar, he says to him, this was the earth that Avram used in the war with the kings. He's saying to him, this man is a descendant of Avram. His attitude is always, is gam zu l'tayv. There has to be something good in this situation. And because there had to be something good in this situation, it turned into arrows. It indeed became something good. This other fellow, who didn't have that hashkafa, his earth just was earth. And perhaps that's also what took place in the Bris Bein Absarim, where Avraham Avinu asks Hashem, how do I know that my descendants are going to have this attitude? And Hashem says to him, Kiger Yezarach Beretz Lo Elohem, your descendants are going to be foreigners in a earth that's not theirs. They're going to go out with tremendous treasures. This is the treasure. The treasure is the ability to look at Golus Mitzrayim, to look at an exile that had horrific tragedy associated with it. And despite that, to be able to look at it and understand that it has to be that they're going to go out with a treasure, because Hashem doesn't do anything otherwise. And the Sfas explains that that's why we do things on Pesach night, like maror. He says if it's a night of freedom, we should just eat the matzah. We should just eat the Karm Pesach. Why do we eat maror? So he says, therefore it proves to us that we're not only thanking for the redemption, we're thanking for the exile, because contained in the manure is the sparks, is the strength to be able to extract the ruchush gadol, to be able to extract those precious sparks of life. So this is the legacy of the Ovis and the Emois. He's trying, Balak is trying to say, Kael Mitziyam Mitzrayim, that Hashem took them out of Egypt. And what does he say? The words are so incredible based upon this. What does he say to him? He says, Hine ha'om ha'yotzei mimitzrayim. We got a nation who have to be a group of wretched, negative people. They just came out of slavery. Vayichas es ein ha'aretz. What did he do? What was Balak's error? He covered the eye of the earth. No. Our earth is different than the rest of the world. Chazal tell us, Eretz Yisrael gevaya mikol ha'aretzos. The earth of a Jew is much higher than the earth of any other nation. Because we look at earth, we look at the manure, and we see Manafshi Ka'ofa the Kaltia. We see that there's something there that needs to be uplifted, something that needs to be extracted. The Nekises in Arts is talking about Balak. Balak's error, his tragic error was he covered the eye of the earth. He covered what Klal Yisrael see in earth. We look at earth and we see arrows. We see opportunity. Balak looked at Mitzrayim and said they must be a people who are enslaved, a people who have no hope. Klal Yisrael looks at earth and says, we can have an orchard. There's an opportunity here. So when Bilam begins his entire speech, his first bracha, he says, they are descendants of the Avos and the Amayos. He got it all wrong. They somehow were able to take, and it's interesting if you look into the legacy of especially with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu went through the torture with Esav, and then went through the whole story with Lavan. Lavan's own children say, "Umeasher li'avinu asalais kol ha'chayil hazeh." That somehow Yaakov Avinu ended up taking his entire time that he spent by Lavan, and what did he do with it? He made a mint. He somehow took all that torture and became a very wealthy man. Because that's what Klal Yisrael does. They take situations, and they're able to somehow transform them. They'll end up selling manure, if that's what it takes. So what does his bracha begin with? Mi mona afar Yankiv. Who can count the dirt of Yankiv? You can't, there's no limit to the number of opportunities that are presented to somebody who has that attitude. There's no way of limiting it. The opportunities are endless. So you have a divide here between the world of Balak and Bilam, a world that waits for things to happen to them, and a world of Yankiv and the Emois and the Avais who look at what happens and say, my father tells the story all the time of two children. One of them was this incredible optimist and the other was a pessimist. And no matter what the situation was, these two kids always stuck to their guns. They stuck to their attitudes. So finally they decided they were going to do a study, and they took the optimist and they put him in a room full of dung. And they took the pessimist and put him in a room with every conceivable toy. They come in an hour later, and the kid in the room with the toy is sitting in the corner crying that there's one toy that he discovered is missing. And they go into the other room with the dung, and they can't find the kid. All of a sudden his head pops out of the pile of dung, and he's got this big smile on his face, and he says, with all this dung, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. That's the attitude of, that needs to be the attitude of Klal Yisrael. That somehow, within the construct of life's circumstances, that there's got to be a bracha in there. There has to be Mimona Afrayanker. There has to be something in there. It's interesting that when Rashi quotes it, he says, "Ein cheshbin b'mitzvah she'em ikam b'afer." There's no limit to the number of mitzvahs that a person can fulfill with offer. You have leisachrish b'shar v'chamar. You can't plow using a donkey and an axe together. Leisizra klaim. You can't plant two species of seeds together. You have the mitzvah of kisui adam. You have all these various mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael is even able to fulfill with offer. And perhaps that the reason, one of the reasons for those mitzvahs is to inculcate Klal Yisrael with this hashkafa, that there cannot be things which are completely dark. There has to be an opportunity of, as the Rav Shtaruf says, of nafshi ka'ofer l'kayotia, that there needs to be an opportunity to fulfill these mitzvahs. He goes through and talks about that's the essence of the mitzvah of challah, is the kemach, the wheat, comes from offer and mayim, and that's one of the side effects of the mitzvah of challah, is to take off that piece from, you know, the thick dough, and to sanctify that piece. And that's really a lesson in life, is that, you know, it looks like a dense, dark blob of, you know, darkness. And comes a Jew and says, no, there's no such thing. Take off a piece of challah. There's light in there somewhere. There's got to be an opportunity. So his message was kel mitzvah mitzrayim, and Bilam comes back and says, you don't get the essence of a Jew. The essence of the Ovis and the Emois, their legacy to Klal Yisrael, was in fact to take even that which they received from Terach and Lavan and Besuel and all the other shady characters in our past, and to figure out how we take those elements and recognize that in there somewhere is an opportunity for transformation, for elevation, for turning it into the dirt and the manure that will give forth all the life-giving qualities that the Rebbeinu Shlomo blesses us with. So Parshas Balak, in this Mimona Afar Yankiv, sheds light on the essence of Klal Yisrael. They were not fooling anybody. Kael Metziam in Mitzrayim, he took us out of Egypt, but what he took out of Egypt were people where that was what Hashem promised Avram. Kiger Yizaracha Be'eretz Lo Elohem. Your descendants are going to be foreigners in a land that's going to look like it's got nothing for them. And they're going to enslave them and persecute them. But then Klal Yisrael is going to go out with a tremendous inheritance. And that inheritance is the knowledge. Right? We say there are 49 mitzvahs in the Torah that are Zecha L'Tzias Mitzrayim. To remember that as bleak as it looks and as dark as it might be, the fact that we will always go out with a tremendous treasure is the pattern and the legacy of Klal Yisrael.